The demand of commodities, fine chemicals, aroma compounds, proteins, or medicines such as antibiotics is increasing worldwide. However, conventional biotechnology production processes based on monocultures of microbial flora are reaching their limits. So how can new, more efficient production routes be created by scale-up that not only meet demand, but are also economically viable and sustainable? Roughly speaking, this is what the DFG Priority Program Interzell is about. We will be exploring this topic piece by piece with our podcast, Lab Whispers of Bioengineering. CO2 has a bad image when it comes to the climate change debate. Binding CO2 and reusing it would be the holy grail. A team of researchers funded by the German Research Foundation is on a mission to accomplish this. Here today with the Interzell Priority Program to discuss these topics are Professor Dr. Andreas Kremling and Dr. Kati Pfluger-Grau, both from TU Munich. Would you like to briefly introduce yourselves? How long have you been researching in the field of bioengineering?
So I'm an engineer by training in the field of chemical and biochemical engineering with a focus on systems engineering, that is mathematical modeling and control engineering. And during my diploma studies at Stuttgart, I discovered that biotechnology is a very interesting field for me. And then I was in the lucky situation that there was a PhD position that was funded. And so I could complete my PhD. And before I become a professor at the Technical University of Munich, I was a junior research scientist at the Max Planck Institute in Magdeburg.
I obtained my PhD in microbiology in 2004 from the Ludwig Maximilians University of Munich. And after that, I joined as a postdoc Victor de Laurentio's lab in Madrid. That is also where I got to know Pseudomonas putida, our favorite microorganism. In 2010, I started at the Technical University of Munich in Andreas' group. And there in this group, I'm responsible mainly for the conceptualization and the supervision of the experimental research part.
I see. And how did you become involved in the overall Interzell program?
Well, we already had some research going on, which started already in 2013 with a PhD student, where we explored defined mixed cultures. That was a field that was relatively novel at that time. We looked already back then at the co-cultivation of a cyanobacterium together with a heterotrophic organism.
So when we heard about this Interzell, we thought it could be a very perfect fit for us to be part of this interesting consortium.
Indeed. And what fascinates you the most about the priority program, Interzell?
Yeah, from our side, I think the PhD students, they really benefit from these regular meetings that are offered. And in this way, we already learned a lot from the others, especially about numerical tools that could help ourselves to solve the problems.
Yeah, and I think this working together with other German researchers on a related topic, but from a very different angle, is a very great opportunity also for networking. And there are always very interesting and good discussions. It's a very, very friendly environment. And I think the students feel very comfortable and they're not afraid to discuss and to ask questions. And I think this is something which is very fascinating indeed.
Yes, sounds like the students are learning from the teachers and vice versa. Your project is investigating defined bacterial mixed cultures of phototrophic and heterotrophic bacteria that can produce bioplastics from light. How does this work? How can CO2 be bound this way?
Well, first of all, I have to say that we have, of course, a closed system that we are working with, as we are working with genetically modified organisms. So there is no way to bring that in the field right now. So in our system, air is actually bubbled through the bioreactor and the phototrophic bacteria are able to fix the CO2. And with the light as energy source, they can grow. And these cyanobacteria that we are using, they are genetically modified to secrete sucrose. Sucrose is produced by them, usually in response to elevated salt concentrations, but naturally they do not secrete the sucrose and the modification makes them or forces them to secrete sucrose. The sucrose that is now in the supernatant is then consumed by a heterotrophic organism, in our case, Pseudomonas putida. And this organism, of course, first had to be taught to metabolize sucrose, as it naturally is not able to do so. And this was obtained by the integration of a gene cluster for the sucrose consumption into the genome of P. putida. So P. putida is a natural producer of polyhydroxyalkanoids, which is also known as bioplastics, but only under certain environmental conditions. And these certain environmental conditions we have to mimic in the bioprocess. These are carbon overflow and nitrogen limitation. So the nitrogen limitation, we achieved this by separating the nitrogen sources. So we used urea for Pseudomonas putida, as Elongatus is not able to consume urea, and nitrate for the cyanobacterium. And in order to achieve this, we had to genetically modify Pseudomonas putida to make it nitrate blind, as it usually or naturally is able to consume nitrate as well. And this was done by the deletion of a gene that is part of a two-component system for nitrate assimilation. And by this, with the overall process now, we are able to convert CO2 into polyhydroxyalkanoids. And then we have another part of our project that we now look more or deeper into the cell-cell interactions by applying various omics analyses.
And from the theoretical side, that is my part. So we try to integrate these experimental data that we get from the experimentalists into a kind of equation systems in order that we can use the model finally for predictions, that is simulation, different scenarios, or for process optimization.
And what is the goal of your research project?
So the overall really long-term goal is to provide a platform for the microbial production of different compounds in the end from light and CO2 by employing the co-culture system.
And what about highlights? Have you had highlights so far?
Well, actually, during the whole project, we had several highlights. The first was when we were able to grow both organisms together in the same cultivation vessel. Then another highlight was the moment when we were really able to produce PHA and when we then were able to increase the PHA yield by process engineering. And now the last highlight, so to say, is that we now had this omics approach where we obtained a vast amount of data. And most interestingly, we saw some hints towards other molecules than sucrose that are exchanged.
Wow, that's exciting. And is the resulting bioplastic already usable?
Yes and no. I mean, in theory, yes, because there are examples of PHAs that are already used in, for example, in food packaging, and they are chemically not different from what we produce. But in our system, we haven't done any downstream processing and purification of the PHAs up to now. So in theory, yes, but in reality, not.
Not yet. Yeah. Where do you see the biggest obstacles and challenges, and how will you meet those?
Well, I think upscaling might be a problem and to really get economically competitive. However, I mean, it's hard to calculate whether you're economically competitive or not, because it really very much depends on what you compare to.
And we are already in contact with some other groups, photobioreactor experts, to test the scale-up. But this further activities might depend on the funding that we get in the future.
Yes. Well, certainly biodegradable products and non-fossil fuel sources are going to be of interest in the future for sure. And you are definitely helping to grow the green economy, which is great. And what about milestones? Are there milestones you are working towards? And also, will it be possible to transfer the research to an industrial scale?
So in our case, I think the next big milestone that we are heading for is to show the platform character of the whole process. That means to exchange the product by looking for a way to introduce the genetic information needed for P. putida to produce other products than the PHAs and to make that work in the co-culture.
And the research on an industrial scale requires, of course, that that the partners are involved directly from industry. And from these partners, we should get some ideas on the possibilities, what we can do, and what are the challenges, especially for the industry. And as you said, or what is clear, that they normally make a clear cost-benefit calculation, and then we will see if we can make some scaling in this direction.
Thank you so much for being here, Professor Dr. Andreas Kremling and Dr. Kati Pfluger-Grau. These are amazing insights, and I'm really excited to see what happens in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.